five, six, seven. Good morning, everyone. Well, for those of you who have not been here Friday or Saturday, can I get a show of hands? You were not here Friday, Saturday, so you maybe don't know kind of what you missed. The last couple of days, most of us were here, and we have just been so refreshed and renewed. And thank you, Lord. There are so many testimonies that have come out of this, and so I want to share a couple of quick things in regards to the website so that you'll know basically how to get... okay, go ahead, Kirsten. You can drop that light. Tim, if you want to bring up that here on our... this here's our website. Many of you have been there. Many of you have not. But I just want to show you quickly how to get there. So for those of you who missed the conference the last couple of days, you can go here to our website. You can get the audios. Some of that's going to be in video. So in Google, you type in Potter's Hands and hit search, and it'll bring up several of our websites. Google actually loves Potter's Hands, in case you didn't know. We get great traffic and search engine results from it. Go ahead, Tim. And this is what our website looks like. When you get to the website, if you click the logo at the top left here, go ahead, Tim, it'll take you to basically our homepage. And underneath the image at the top here, scroll down a bit, Tim, there are the posts, and it's ordered by date as things happen and as Sunday services and audios are posted. So there's a couple of conferences here. The Father's Heart Conference weekend. This is basically what's happened the last couple days. Go ahead, Tim, and just hit more there. So this is difficult to see, but basically there's a couple of things. There's the audios and the links in here, and there's a link here. So just asking that you would prayerfully ask the Lord if there's an amount that you, out of the abundance that you've been giving, would prayerfully give and donate to the team who has come out and given us 4 days of their lives. So this is a link right here to their website, where you can go and you can donate online. So that's there. And if you've been blessed by this past couple of days and you want to help out, what you can do is you can share this page. You can share it on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook link. And also, this button right here is a email link where if you go there and you enter your email, you'll get updates, emails whenever the website changes. So you can actually follow the website. You can follow us on Facebook. You can sign up for the newsletter, which is here at newsletter, which you'll get. We send out updates there. And our donation stuff is this little give and helping at Potter's, different ways that people can help out with the ministry here as well. So that's a couple of updates. Other than that, for announcements, comments. Actually, back there again, Tim, sorry. If you scroll down on any of these posts from the Sunday services, you'll see you can actually leave comments at the bottom of the page. And it's right there. Yeah, leave a reply. You can even post a little video clip. That actually gets us better traffic as well with the search engines. So thought to mention that. And Kirsten and Darcy, if you would come up. I invited Darcy and Kirsten to come up and just share a little bit of Alf and Pam and just maybe how they met. And then if you wouldn't mind just maybe praying for them as well. And they're going to basically come up and finish and preach the sermon here today. So praise the Lord.
Isn't it great when seven people take time out of their busy schedule and God puts it on their hearts to come and bless us? Right, give them a big hand. We appreciate it. Thank you, guys. It's been a blessing for us. For those who weren't here, couldn't make it, you've seen all the hands up of everybody who worshiped. Talk to them, find out what went on, you know, and hear their testimonies and things that happened. You'll really be encouraged by it. And you can go to the link like Chad showed you, and you can actually hear it, but you'll have some testimony behind it so that you can, you know, it'll resonate in your heart, the things that went on this weekend. Pam and Alf, we've known them for a number of years now. You know, they're great friends of ours, and they're man and woman of God. You know, they pursue God, the Father's heart. You know, they've had the personal experiences, which you've all heard. They've shared it with you, how God has enriched their life and brought them to deeper understanding of how to have a relationship with God. And they travel around sharing this. They have a church in Abbotsford, too. They're very busy people, and they took this time out of their schedule to come up here and bless us. So we thank them for that. And
I agree with everything Darcy said. I'm a good wife. I just wanted to just encourage those of you who are here to really treasure what God has done during these days. It's a beginning of a journey. And we've sat under this teaching and this kind of ministry for I don't know how many years now. But, you know, every single time God does something. And yesterday he gave me a picture that was so meaningful to me. I grew up without a dad. The absent father is where my life fell. But God gave me such a picture that just totally ministered to a deep place in my heart that I actually didn't even know was there, like that there was something was missing. So treasure what God has done, but it's just the beginning of a journey. And I would just also say that if any of you would like to get together and pray through what God is doing in your heart and life and issues that have come up, I love to pray. That's one of the things I love more than almost as much as eating. So so I just wanted to tell, just come and chat with us, and I'm free during the daytime, so I'd love to do that. And without further ado, drum roll. And guess what? Pam and I are going clothes shopping after.
Oh, yeah, now Darcy says let's pray for them.
The shopping part we'll pray for, yeah. Lord, we pray for Alf and Pam. You'll give them words of wisdom, discernment, and Lord, we pray for your favor upon them today. Lord, and they'll have clear thoughts and voice to be able to portray and speak what you're putting in their hearts and minds. We bless them for coming. Thank you for sending them to us. It's been a treasure for us. Amen.
And Lord, we pray for a good bargain for Pam. Right, ladies? Come on. Can you agree with me? All right. Okay, so for those of you that weren't here, as you see, I'm Pam, that's Alf, and one of the ways we start before Alf preaches is we have a team that's come up and they have got prophetic words to give away. For those of you that don't know what a prophetic word is, it just means that they've asked God for a message for you. They've asked God what his heart is for you. And so God is often giving them specific people, and sometimes it's for a whole crowd. And so we've also had a team of people in Abbotsford that I'm working with. I'm starting to just work with and set up prophetic teams, so people who can do this all the time. And so they actually, their assignment was to pray in Abbotsford and to send me prophetic words by email for you guys. So we have a whole bunch that we're going to give away today. So team, do you want to come up? And aren't these guys amazing? These guys are. We get to work with these guys, and we get to lead our church with these guys. And, I mean, they drove for like 14 hours to get here. Mike's taken time off from work. They've all set stuff aside because God told them that they were supposed to be here with you. And so I don't tell you that to necessarily build them up as much as for you to understand how special you are. You know, that people who didn't know you heard God say, come. You are to go to Red Deer, and I want you to bless these people. That's great that they heard, and we honor them for being obedient, but you need to not miss the part that it means you're that special. You're that special. The God of the universe sent strangers to bless you. So thank you for receiving us, and we'll start giving away some words.
The word I have is actually, it's for all of you, and it's actually a single word. I saw the word stalwart written over this church, and so I got a pretty general idea what that word means, but essentially you are a faithful, upright, solid bunch of people. And so the reason I got that word is because that's how God thinks of you. So I just want to pray for more of that into you. So you know what? Maybe just cup your hands like you're about to receive a gift, okay? So Father, we thank you for how you see this group of sons and daughters. We thank you for that, Lord, and we take it as great encouragement. And Lord, we want to declare that what your desire is for this body is for even more of that stalwart nature for this bunch. God, build their faithfulness, God. Build their solid stance within this community. And Lord, we pray that you will just equip and gird them up for each new day. Father, thank you that you're faithful, that these are good things to ask for, and you are eager to give them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a word for the lady who's wiping her eyes right now. Yes, you. What's your name?
Michelle.
I just feel like the Lord is saying that you're not to worry about finances, that he feeds the birds of the air, and he dresses the lilies of the field, and he loves you so much more than that. So he says, don't worry, all your needs and your wants. Some of your wants, I don't know how that works, but he will meet all your needs. So don't worry. I had a word for someone else.
Okay. So she's got a word for someone else, but she said they're probably out for smoke right now. So when they get back, they'll get their word. Okay, here's another one.
Okay, I have a word for everybody who feels that they're going deeper into the Father's love this weekend, so or wants to go deeper. So if that's you, can you please just stand up? All right. That's awesome. So I saw you standing at the ocean of God's love. And, you know, at first you kind of test the water, and then you think, oh, that's pretty nice. And you still start walking in. Gets deeper, but there's things on shore that you're familiar with, right? But God is in the ocean. He's drawing you deeper. And as you go in, you start swimming, and then you go underwater and start swimming under, like down deeper into the depths of his love. And at some point, you think, I got to go up for air, right? But then the beautiful thing is that God changes the rules, and he says, you can breathe underwater. And you can keep on going deeper, and there's no limits to how deep you can go. And so I just want to bless that over you, that you would have the courage to go as deep as you can possibly go with the Father, because we can't plumb his depths. That ocean just keeps on going. And I just bless that over you, the courage, the heart for the Father over you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Mike.
Okay, so this the word I have is for those people who have been struggling with like losing a loved one or some loss recently. Is there anybody... Yeah? It's stand up if you can. If you want. So the verse that I have is from Psalm 30. It's, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. So I just want to say a quick prayer. Father, I just, we thank you for life. We thank you for journeys. But Lord, sometimes we lose a loved one and it hurts. So just pray that you will bless these people that are struggling with mourning and losing a loved one. And Lord, you have promised us that it turns into dancing. And dancing is so awesome. And we just love the joy that it brings. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you that when we go to heaven, there is no mourning and there is no fear. So we just praise your name for that. And I just pray that you'll bless these people that are standing right now. In Jesus' name.
I got a word for, I think your name's Ryan. Ryan, yeah. I heard the word spiritual mechanic. And so I said, all right, God, what's that? And I can work on cars, but I'm not a mechanic. There's a difference between a mechanic and someone who can work on cars. A mechanic is very discerning about what's going on. They can hear a noise and go, oh, I know what that is. You know what I mean? So I feel like the Father is increasing your discernment for praying into situations that you see around you. And fixing those things. That's what a mechanic does, right? They discern what's going on and they fix it. And I really believe that he's increasing your discernment. And you have power in your words. I'm hearing. So, Father, I just bless that on Ryan, Father. And we thank you for that increase, God. Just fill him up. I just pray that every minute of every day, God, he's just aware of your presence more and more and more. That it's something that is just everything, Father, and that just increases in his life, God, that there's less times of feeling alone and empty, but there's more times of being aware that you're there, Father God, and that discernment's gonna just be cranked up.
Okay, we have a couple other words. I just need to ask a couple of questions. Is there anybody here whose name is Helen, middle name Helen, or family Helen? Your middle name is Helen. Okay, well, this is a word for you. Because they said to look for someone, and the name I get was Helen. So it's just a quick thing, but they said the Father wants you to know that he's doing a renovation in your life and in your heart. And she says, I hear him saying over you, I am making all things new. So that's for you. Okay. Okay, and I'm supposed to be looking, too, for somebody who's named. Is there anybody here whose name is Nellie, or you know a Nellie? Okay, Ellen, Nellie. Okay, I see a couple of people kind of, okay, what are you thinking there? Okay, good, and what are you thinking? I know a Nellie. You know a Nellie, she knows a sister that's Ellen. Okay, so you know what, and you, what's your hand up? Okay, so you know what? Sometimes when our teams are learning, so when they get names, sometimes the names are, it's to get your attention. It's like we had the name Holly the other day, and so the woman who responded to it said, that was my son's ex-girlfriend. And so sometimes we get names, and it's just to catch your attention, so you go, oh, I know somebody by that name. So so I'm going to read this over you, because it was for a woman. So I'm going to just read this over you, okay? So what's your name? Amanda. So stand up, Amanda. So you're going to take this word because you know what? The Lord was trying to get your attention because you recognized right away that it was a sister, you know? And if this applies to you or it applies to Ryan, you grab it too, okay? Okay, so she got the scripture for you from 3 John verse 2. And it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And she just really felt like she wants you to know that there's something that's happening in your life right now that is about to bring health to you. And your soul is about to sing in the nighttime like it hasn't done in a very long time. And that singing in the nighttime is going to start singing in the daytime too. And whereas before sometimes I got the feeling that sometimes you've almost dreaded going to sleep sometimes. But the Lord has said, you know, I'm taking that away from you and I'm going to give you the sweet sleep of the righteous. And you're going to be surrounded with songs of deliverance. And like he said, that in the night time your soul that is about to start prospering because you have poured out this weekend. You have turned around and said, God, I'm done with this pain. I need to move on. I want to be healthy. I want to be whole. And because you've done that, you've made room for your soul to prosper. And so your soul, it says, is going to prosper and be in health and in all things prosper. So we're going to bless right now that you are going to have ears that are going to begin to hear the songs of deliverance that surround you, Amanda. We bless you to know the sounds and the songs of deliverance. And we bless you with the Zephaniah 3:17 that says that the Lord himself says, I sing songs of joy over you. And so we bless your ears to begin to hear the sounds of God. And we bless you to begin to know those songs in the night. Okay? That sound good? Okay, and you can take that to your sisters. Okay, one more word I have, and that is for the young adults in this room. So if you're a young adult, listen up, because I'm going to describe the word for you first, and then if that's you, then you're going to stand up and we're going to pray for you. So this was just sent in by one of our guys, and it says, this is for a young adult right now who is facing some new things in their life. They may be feeling fear or chaos and feeling a bit insecure. But the picture that they had was this person is in the ocean with waves crashing around them or on top of them. And fear has been at times consuming you. But the Father is coming with the surfboard. And he's going to teach you to surf those waves. And once you catch the wave, you're going to see. And the wave is going to move you forward in the right direction. And the power of what has felt like chaos around you is about to be harnessed. And it's going to take you where you need to go. So what young adult in this room has been kind of going through something right now and sensing that there's some new things happening, but it's a bit fearful? Okay, good, good. I was going to say, only one young adult. Man, if I wasn't so old, I'd stand for that one. Okay, there we go. Good on you. That's it. Okay, so you guys, stretch your hands out to these guys because there's more of it. So you guys, close your eyes as I begin to just give you the rest of this word. So Father, we just declare what has been spoken already from Abbotsford to here for these ones. And Father, we declare over you right now that the Father is bringing you tools and training that is not only going to relieve you of the fear that you've been having, but that blindness when you've been saying, I can't see, I don't know what to do. But the Father is going to start allowing you to not only be feel his leading, but you're going to feel his power beneath your feet. You are going to be able to understand, even in the midst of what seems like chaos, that you're going to be able to enter into it with his confidence, and you are even going to be able to find joy in the challenging places, because you are going to know that my Father is with me. You are going to get a new understanding that you are a child of God, and that whatever situation is around you right now, that you're going to know, God, are you still on the throne? Do you still love me? Then I'm okay. There's a new confidence being stirred up in you. There's a new confidence being stirred up in the God you serve. And so, Father, we speak over any lingering fear that didn't get broken off last night. And, Father, we say right now, pour in the perfect love of God, because where your love is, fear cannot remain. And so we ask for love to pour into them, a greater understanding of the love you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Okay, can you handle one more? Okay, so last one wasn't one that got sent in to me. It's for the guy sitting at the very back there, with the burgundy striped shirt on and the mustache. That's you. Sorry, I got to put my glasses on. There you are, suddenly in focus. Okay, as soon as I stood up, I noticed you, and I just felt like the Lord was saying to tell you that, you know, you have been chosen by him from the foundations of the world, that he knew you before your mother was even aware that you were in her womb, and that he celebrated you. And what I heard him say is, you haven't always felt celebrated in life, but he wants you to know it. Doesn't matter, regardless of what life has said to you, he has celebrated you. And he said to me, I have a plan for you. And he kept telling me to tell you that he has a hope for you. He says, there's been a lot of disappointment in your life. I was picking that up. And he said, tell him, I'm about to replace disappointment with hope. So there's new hope coming for you. And I believe that if you have a Bible, you should read Jeremiah 29, because it says, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope, and that is for you. And he said, you've been sometimes making your own plans, but you are going to be coming into a new season where you're going to have a sense that God's hand is like a father just on your shoulder going, no, not there, go here. And you're going to start saying to people, it's so weird, I was going to do this, and all of a sudden I did that. And that there's just some really good things coming for you. So I bless you in that. And the last one is for the little piano player there. Margaret, is that your name? Okay, Margaret, can you stand up? I just felt like the Lord said, I was watching you, and he says, you are such a woman of honor. You're such a woman of honor. And Proverbs 31, which is not necessarily my favorite book because it's such a high bar for all us women, you know what I mean? But there's a verse in Proverbs that says, and she laughs at the future. It says she laughs at the future. It talks about how well she takes care of her household, but I love the fact that she laughs at the future. And the Lord has said, you are a really faithful woman and a woman of honor, and you really are someone that models Proverbs 31. So as a woman, I want to honor you in that, but I also heard him say that, you know, he said to bless your faithfulness. You have been faithful when other people would have stopped being faithful. You have been faithful in times when you had an opportunity to say, whatever. And he said, you just keep getting up and you keep loving him, and you keep loving him. And he wants you to know that he sees you. He said that there's many times that you feel like you're not seen and that you're not noticed. And he said, but tell her, I notice everything that she does. And he said, those little prayers that you've been praying in the nighttime that you've wondered if he's hearing, that nobody else is hearing, he wants you to know that those times when you've been on your bed saying those little prayers in the dark when nobody else is awake or and everyone else is asleep, it's like his ear is right down to your lips. And you are whispering right into his lips, into his ear. And I felt like he's saying, there's something you've been asking for specifically, and I don't know if it has to do with one of your kids or a family member, but he said, there's an answer to prayer coming for you. And he said, so keep praying and keep looking, and it's coming. But you are a faithful woman, and I really honor you. So God bless you. Okay. Done. Okay, so just before Alf gets up and speaks, one of the things that we wanted to know is just if one or two people would like to come up and share a testimony, not about your life. I'm sorry, we really would love to hear it. But we actually are going to ask if you have anything to share about the weekend, something that God did for you that you want to just publicly declare for the weekend. And if it's okay, I'm going to hold the mic while you share so that I can interview you a little bit and ask you some questions. So who would like to come up and share what's gone on in their heart for the weekend? Come on up. So give me one more person who can come up and stand right here with her. Come on, don't be afraid. I don't bite, honest. Only on Sundays, no. Okay, so what's your name? Marilise. So Marilise, what did the Lord do in you this weekend?
Al asked yesterday to have a notebook and a pen and to ask God who he is and who am I. And last night when I went to bed, I said, morning is too far. I'm going to start tonight. and I didn't want Satan to take this away from me. I write it down. And last night I said, God, who are you? He said, I am your beloved father. And I said, who am I? He said, you are my beloved child. And this morning when I wake up, I went straight to God. I said, God, I said, who are you? He said, I am your divine protector. And he said, and I said, who am I? He said, you are my special girl.
That's awesome. That's good.
And then something else that, Al, you are the perfect example that when we train a child, when they are young, to know the word of God, that when they get older, they are going to stay with God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And he gave you the most precious gift. He said, when you wanted her to be yoked with you, and you give her the most precious gift of God, of all, the gift of salvation. Yeah. What a way to start a life. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Awesome. Thank you, Marlise. That's awesome. See, there's something about starting your day with that. Like, you can start your day with coffee if you want to. That's great. But can you imagine starting the day now that she did with how does she start her day? Knowing, my father is my divine protector. And I am his precious daughter. Can you imagine everything she does today now, she's doing from that place. That's why doing that little assignment is so good. Hi, May. Good. You got something to share with us? So what did the Lord do for you this weekend?
He just reminded me of yesterday just to love one another and be forward to one another and really help one another, like for real, not just masking it, but really opening up our hearts to one another. And yeah.
So you felt like he was talking to you about loving everybody more?
Yes. Yeah.
So you feel like your heart's more open to everyone?
Yes.
Awesome. So guys, or not just the guys, sorry. So people, that means May is open for hugs. Am I right?
Yes, lots. I can give lots.
Okay, awesome. So get lots of hugs for her. And if you need encouragement about forward thinking and blessing, you're going to help people, right? Okay, and you're going to be forward blessing everybody. Okay, awesome. Thanks, May. Okay, yay. One more. Hi. I know you. So what's the Lord done for you this weekend?
Well, apparently he's still doing it. I'm hoping for a little bit of closure today because... last night and this morning, I felt vacant. But yet he was saying, he's like, you need to work this out. So he's broken through a lot of lies that I've told myself for a long time. And I have a feeling today he's going to replace those lies with full truth.
Well, you know what? That's really true because, you know, when you feel vacant, what happens is, and what happened to many of you this weekend, is that you moved a lot of junk out of your hearts. And where you have been used to living with a ton of clutter and a ton of baggage from the past, when you move that out, you're not used to that feeling anymore. You're not used to not feeling cluttered and weighed down. And so that's the feeling of vacancy. Not a bad thing. But one thing that, yeah, she's going, praise God, you know. But here's the other thing. Once God moves stuff out, ask him to move stuff in. That's what you begin to do. So when you get rid of a lie, you ask him what the truth is. when you get rid of woundedness, you say, now what do you want? I give you my anger. What do you want to give me in return? So you move the old furniture out and you get new stuff in. So let's just pray for her right now. So Father, we thank you that she is modeling for us what it is to have moved a ton of old stuff out. It's like I see a picture of a garage for you, and it's like you've been a hoarder. And there's just boxes and boxes of old stuff, you know, from every level and layer and season of your life. And some of them you haven't opened in a long time. And some of them the rats have gotten at. And some of them they're just like, they're just out of season and don't fit anymore. But yesterday was about you began to go through the boxes and get rid of them and say, this doesn't fit anymore. This is not my season. This is not who I am. And this is useless. Some of them were even stuff you were going, this is useless. And the Lord says, you know, once you make room for me, like that, there's a bunch more about to pour in. But it'll be the good stuff, the current stuff, and for this season that you're in. So amen? Amen. Awesome. Awesome. God bless you. Alf? So thank you guys so much for having us. I mean, man, I tell you, we could just keep prophesying over you guys till the... I do? Oh, you wanted to say something, Barry? Come on up. Sorry, I look a little confused because sometimes I don't understand directions. So, hi, Barry. So what did the Lord do for you this weekend?
Well, I had a prophetic word spoken to me, and it was basically that I'm on the right track and that I'm spreading love. And to me, love was what my ministry is based on, is love. Love first. Love foremost. And I had to just show a man love out here that was going to kill himself. The Lord led me outside, said, you go outside right now. So I listened. And here's this guy downing pills in front of me and drinking. And he's now going to Unit 34 in the hospital. So, amen?
Amen. See? Part of the love in action is learning to hear God and obeying. Somebody said to me, how do you guys get so good at giving these words? And I said, because we practice. And you got to understand, when you're a child of God, if you make a mistake, it's not fatal. You know, if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. It's just you're practicing. When your kids make a mistake, did you slap them and say, what an idiot? You know, when your babies were learning to walk, did you stand them on their feet and say, you have one try to walk right, and if you wobble or fall down, I'm done with you. No, and the perfect father says, I love it when you try. So what he just did right now, hearing and obeying, that's just so important. Sometimes you'll get it right. Sometimes you'll get it wrong. It's not really, keep practicing. So I'm just going to let Alf start preaching because we have to be out of here by a certain time. These guys have got a 14-hour drive ahead of them. So we do want to allow Alf to preach, and we feel like this message is specifically for you guys. And the other thing is that we do want to pray with some of you before we go. So by 12:30, we want to be walking out the door. So we want to leave a good chunk of time to minister and pray for everybody, too. So just bear with us, okay? And I know there's probably more stories. I see a couple of other hands up. I'm sorry. I would love to pull you up front, but we want to get Alf moving here.
Ah, thank you, God. What a great weekend. Thank you for being such a fun group of people to get to know, and Darcy and Kirsten, as they said, have been our friends for a long time, and it's just a delight to come and be able to stay in their home, and which we haven't done in a long time, and just spend time with them. But it's just also delightful just to hear all your stories and just to be able to just together bring ourselves into the presence of God, so that, because it isn't what we do. It's you know, we often say that, you know, God moves sometimes in spite of what we say, but we just get up because God delights to use people to open up other people's hearts. And so we just get to be representatives. And there is something, sometimes we say, well, there's nothing special about us, you know, but there is something special about all of us and all of us together as we open our hearts together. So I'm just going to ask you just to open your heart to the Word of God this morning. We're going to read a story out of Mark, out of the Gospel of Mark. And I thought I should introduce you to this fellow because I'm pretty sure you're going to meet him when you go to heaven. And you're going to say to him, I'm going to say to him when I meet this guy, I'm going to say, so you're that guy.
Wow. So I like to call this guy demon-possessed naked guy. And I love to tell this story because I love the Bible because the stories, some of the stories that are included are so extreme. Some of the characters are so extreme. So the situations are so ridiculous. And they're there to tell, to show us that nobody is too far gone. That nobody is, not only is nobody too far gone to be saved even at the last second, like the thief on the cross, like in the last hours of his life, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not only that, but nobody is too far gone to be rescued from their life, from the terrible life that they had. And if anybody here has a life as terrible as this guy, well, we'll pray for you afterwards too. But I think this guy is pretty much more extreme than anybody here. I think that's a pretty good bet. But you know what? You're going to meet him because he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he didn't run away. He ran to him, even in his complete dysfunction. And before I read the story out of the Gospel of Mark, and it's in Matthew and Luke as well. It's in three different Gospels, pretty much the same story, but they bring out different, tiny little different details that kind of fill the whole story in, so I'll add a few details as well from the other Gospels. But before I do that, I just want to, for those of you who've been here this weekend, you already understand that what we tried to say really clearly was everything Jesus did, he did at the instruction of his Father. He fully represented his Father. Jesus had no agenda of his own. I know that might be a little hard for us to grasp because Jesus is the Son of God. He came to the earth to provide the means to save the world. He paid for the world's sins. But the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus said of himself, I do nothing. Somebody say nothing. I do nothing of my own initiative. Nothing. How many things do we do of our own initiative? I mean, we get up and we decide what to do. Somebody slaps us, we decide what to do back, don't we? You know, Jesus did nothing of his own initiative. And he said, I don't say anything unless it's something that I heard my Father saying. He says, I don't do anything. It's all in the Bible, trust me. I'll read it to you if you want. I don't do anything unless it's something I see my Father doing. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus perfectly mirrors the Father. You see, that was his job. He came to show the world who the Father is. And he also came, of course, to die on the cross to pave the way for us to come to the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, how many? Nobody. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Jesus is the doorway into relationship with Father God. And so Jesus came. He didn't have his own mission. He didn't design his own mission. He clearly said several times, this is all the Father's plan. In John 12, 49 and 50, he said, I do not speak on my own authority. My Father who has sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. Not only what to say, but how to say it. And then he says, I know his commandments lead to eternal life, so I say whatever my Father tells me to say. Isn't that amazing? So I go to these lengths, and I'm going to read you a couple more scriptures out of John 17 to show you that in this story, as Jesus is acting out this story with demon-possessed naked guy, who we'll meet in a moment, he's actually accurately representing the Father's heart for this person in this desperate situation. He's not making it up as he goes, as he thinks. He's looking to his Father. He's seeing how his Father sees this man. He's seeing how his Father wants to act toward this man, and that's how he's acting. Okay? Just want to drum that point home because sometimes we think God is this scary guy that might smack us, you know, and we talked about that this weekend, but for those of you who were not here, you know that God the Father is the judge and he's up there and he's going to smack us, but good thing we have Jesus because Jesus will soften
you know, he'll come and he'll tell, Father, please don't crush this guy, you know, and all that. But you know what? Jesus only and always represents what the Father thinks, feels, says, and how he acts. Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer, Father, just before he went to his trial and execution, he prays to his Father and he says, Father, the world has never known you, but I have showed you, I have showed the world who you are and what you do. He also said in chapter 17, he says, I have, to his Father, he's praying to his Father, I have glorified you on the earth by completing down to the last detail what you have assigned me to do. So as we read the story of demon-possessed naked guy, understand that that he was an assignment that God gave, that the Father gave to his son Jesus to do. Okay? In verse 6 of John 17, Jesus says, I have spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. In this story, you will see the Father's character portrayed by Jesus. Jesus is representing. And so the story will show how the Father acts toward what people would say was a hopeless case. And like I say, this is an extreme story. But again, how do we really get to know a person? How do you really get to know a person? You get to know a person, first of all, by what they look like, and then by what they say, and then by their actions, and then once you really get to know them, you understand a little deeper, and you understand the motives behind their actions and so on. And so Jesus spells out in detail the Father's character. He really wants us to know the Father. That was his mission. That's why we have the four Gospels. That's why we should read, you know, we often say when somebody gets saved, read the Gospel of John. We should read about Jesus and what Jesus said and did. And just saturate our mind, because Jesus is showing us who Father God is, who the King of the universe is. And of course, they're one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus got the assignment to come and be a man. And he humbled himself, the Bible teaches us, to leave aside, you know, heaven. Once you get to heaven and you see what's there, you will understand what Jesus laid aside to come down and live in the culture that he came into and to suffer the abuse and the rejection and the, you know, all the things he suffered. And then, of course, he was finally executed, you know, by the people who were against him all of his life. You will understand just what he laid aside once you actually, we won't really have a clue until we know what that was. But it's important for us to have a right concept of God. And it's so important that Jesus came. See, as I said the other day, he could have come, say, and just appeared on the scene and, you know, been crucified and paid the price and paid for all our sins, been resurrected, shoot off to heaven, done. And that would have created the doorway to relationship with the Father. That act did that. But the Father chose in his wisdom, his plan, and Jesus says in other places, it's all the Father's plan. His plan was to allow him to experience everything that we experience. So when you go through something, when you go through a situation where you're tempted by something or where you're frustrated by something or when somebody lets you down or when somebody hurts you or wounds you or whatever, you don't have a person in Jesus who does not understand what you're going through. He wanted, as God, to be able to understand what it meant to be a human being and to go through those things so that he could be, as it says in Hebrews, our faithful high priest, so that he could know exactly what we go through. And so, he's a faithful high priest who knows all about us, and we need to know that about him. He wasn't immune from, that's why you should read the Gospels. He wasn't immune from backtalk and from criticism and from, you know, a few times, you know, in those days, if you didn't like somebody bad enough, you can thank God you don't live in this culture, but if you really didn't like somebody, you could raise up a rabble and you could stone somebody to death on the street.
you know, and the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, tried to do that to Jesus a few times. They picked up stones to stone him because they hated his message. They didn't like his message. And so he knew, like, extreme rejection and extreme, you know, danger almost. It says, he just went through their midst in because it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time for that. And so let's get to demon-possessed naked guy, right? You're all wondering who this guy is if you don't know the story. Let me just give you a little bit of background to the story because the background is important. Yes, it is, Pam. The background is important. Pam, sometimes known as the Holy Spirit. Is also a huge blessing in my life. The background to this story is in Mark 4, Jesus is preaching to multitudes, so it's a popularity swing. Jesus had a bit of this in his life, a bit of roller coaster ride. So he had a popularity swing, and multitudes were coming to him. So many people were coming to him, and he was on a shoreline of the sea, and so many people were coming that, because here's what used to happen. Sometimes people would come to Jesus and say, would you heal me? And he'd heal them. Sometimes he would touch people and he would initiate and he would go and heal somebody. Sometimes if somebody just touched, you know, the edge of his garment, they got healed. And if you knew that was happening with somebody, would you try to get close to him if you needed healing? And so people were physically pressing against, you know, and trying to get close to him, so much so that he borrowed a boat from some fishermen. And he stood in a boat and got out in the water a little bit and then preached to the crowd, right? And so he's sort of the height of popularity where there's crowds everywhere. Great things are happening. He's healing people. It's a revival, you know? Like, it's just huge. The disciples are going, yes, we get to be a part of this. This is amazing. And then Jesus says it one evening. He says, guys, let's get in a boat and go to the other side. Because, you see, he didn't tell them yet, but he knew. Father told him, I got an assignment for you on the other side. And so they get in a boat, and they're rowing or sailing or whatever they did across the sea to the other side, and an incredible storm comes up. It's the night from hell. They think some of them are seasoned, you know, sailors or you know, people who are fishermen who regularly go out on this sea. And yet they are so terrified they think they're going to die. And they go and they rush over and they wake up Jesus. And Jesus speaks to the storm and chaos and fear and, you know, and everything that's in them. And whoosh. And it just calms down. And then they get to where they were going to the other side. And that's where we pick up our story. Mark 5, verse 1 says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, not wasting any time here, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. When he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and he smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. And that's not all. When Jesus was still some distance away, though, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. Now, I want to just stop for just a second here. Somebody who's, we're going to find out in a minute that the reason he is this way is because he's demon-possessed. You would think if he saw Jesus, he would run the other direction. And if he had run the other direction, chances are good his story wouldn't be in the Bible. But the story is in the Bible because he actually came to Jesus. And there's a point I'm going to make on that. So when Jesus was still a distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed. I'll spare you the, you know, saying this in a scream. But imagine this said in a scream. Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. So he'd already said that. Then the man screams at him, you know, with a shriek, it says. Then in verse 9, Jesus said, asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on a hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. This is a fairly dramatic story. It's a fairly dramatic scene. You know, 2,000 pigs racing into the water and drowning. So now they're on the beach and there's dead, bloated pig bodies bobbing all over the place. It's a great scene. Probably smelled pretty good. So the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran, and people rushed out to see what was happening. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. Now that's a pretty dramatic story, and it's a pretty ridiculous story, and I'm going to fluff it up with some more details out of Matthew and Luke just so you fully understand. First of all, his name, demon-possessed naked guy. We got the demon-possessed part so far. But in Luke it says, the man was naked and he had not worn clothes in some long time. Okay? So this is not just something that happened to him over the weekend where he made some bad choices, you know. This is something that had been happening for a long time. He did not live at home. He did not have a home. He was homeless. And he lived in a cemetery. In those days, they had burial caves and so on. And so I guess he used the cave, you know, some caves for shelter and so on. And so he was naked, crazy, demon-possessed, homeless. And then it says, Luke says, he was crazed and driven wild by these demons. Here's what he did. It says, no one, we read this, but Luke also says, no one was strong enough to subdue him. Many times they would chain him up and put shackles on him, and he would just smash them. He was demonically strong. It says nobody, really? I bet we could get a gang of a few tough guys and go out and subdue somebody. It said nobody could subdue this guy. He would snap chains when they chained him up. And they would. I mean, he's a crazy dude. And he lived in the cemetery. Like when we have to go to a cemetery to bury a loved one, and you have a naked, crazy, screaming lunatic roaring around the cemetery, it's a little hard to hold to have loving memory and, you know, whatever, and to bury your loved one, wouldn't it be? So he was a pain in the neck for the locals. At least. It says constantly day and night, it says, he roamed the hillside screaming and howling and slashing himself with sharp stones. So not only was he naked, he was a cutter, and he would have had scars, and some old and some new and some bleed. He was a mess. I mean, when people saw him running toward them screaming, they probably ran screaming too. So I'm just painting this picture that the Bible paints, because like I said, the Bible tells us stories of ridiculous extreme, so none of us can say, my situation is too far gone from what God can heal. That's why we hear those stories. Matthew says that this man was so exceedingly violent that no one considered it safe to walk down that stretch of road anymore. And Luke says he had terrorized the region for a very long time. Okay, I finished painting the picture. Demon-possessed, naked, crazy cutter guy. Screaming and howling and terrorizing people. Super strong because he was demonically empowered. Even manifested physically in his physical strength. Like just a mess. So, along comes Jesus. Now remember, everything he does is to show us who the Father is. So Jesus steps out of the boat, and for some reason, and here's what I like about this story. This guy is so far gone, you know? He's so far gone. If we see that guy here in Red Deer, maybe we would, you know, we've had enough experience. You guys do a lot of great stuff, by the way. You just blow me away how much good stuff is going on here. And maybe you would be able to handle this guy. I don't know. But he's pretty far. He's pretty nuts. You know, you want to get a gang together to go and help this guy, right? But Jesus steps out of the boat, and as he does, this person is way off in the distance, and instead of running the other, because he know the demons in him know who this is. We find this out. Instead of running the other way, he comes to Jesus and falls down in front of him. What does that tell us? That tells us that no matter how far gone anybody is, there's a spark in him. And if we can find that spark, there's a spark in him that wants to be free. Even if he says, no, get away from me. I don't want you. I don't want your help. Get away from me. There's a spark in every person that wants to be healed, that wants to be set free. And he runs to Jesus and falls down before him. And we're going to learn a lot about the Father through this. So no matter how far gone, there is a cry in people's hearts for their Father. So Jesus and the Father then comes and he sees this guy. Now, you have to remember the background because they've just come from a huge revival. They get in a boat, and it's the night from hell. They're terrified. Nature is about to overtake them, the natural world, and they're going to drown. That's what they think. So they're all going, Jesus, what on earth? What did you have us get in this boat? You tell us you always hear the Father. I'm pretty sure you heard the wrong voice this time. We're all going to die, you know? And then Jesus gets up and he goes, peace to chaos. Right? He's preparing their hearts. He's preparing their minds. Because demon-possessed guy is chaos. And if Jesus has power over nature, how much more does he have power over everything else he created? And he has the ability to evict the evil spirits and to say where there's whirling, screaming, howling chaos in a physical person, he has the ability to say, peace. This is what the Father does. This is what he wants to do. This is what he longs to do. This is what he's ready to do every day. And we get to participate because he loves to do it through us, through people who will just say, I'm willing to get involved. I'm willing to do something. I'll go there. I don't know what to do. Well, can you smile? Can you say hi? Can you say welcome? Can you say come on in and have a cup of coffee? As long as you're available, God will use you. That's his plan. He could do everything all by himself. He doesn't need any of us. But because he's a father, he likes to take his sons and daughters by the hand and say, come on, son, let's do something today. I want to do something together with you.
I'm going to show you how I work and how I'm going to make you part of my business, part of the kingdom of God. And so this is what, you know, the disciples are learning as they're watching Jesus. Notice they're kind of in the background. I have this feeling that as demon-possessed naked guy was streaking towards them, he's actually streaking because he's naked, but I just thought of that. Whew. Must be a revelation. But as he's streaking toward them and he's cut and he's screaming and howling and everything else, I would imagine the disciples are starting to take steps backward, you know. I mean, they just, their heart maybe just, you know, their adrenaline's just coming down from the night from hell on the water, you know. And now, you know, thanks, you brought us out here now to be killed by a slathering, you know, like maniac. And they're stepping back, but Jesus is calmly standing there, and the man falls down. And Jesus says, he just commands the spirits to come out of him. And then the man screams at him. You know, he screams. He's abusive. He says, you know, like, you know, where did I have it written down here? Yeah, I know you are Jesus of Nazareth, you know. Leave me alone. Why are you tormenting me? You know, sort of thing. God, you see, God the Father, thanks, Doug. God the Father is not put off by an aggressive, angry tone when somebody, you know, when he's starting to break into that person's life. He didn't say, wait a minute, do you know who you're talking to here? You better just shut up and sit down. I got news for you, boy. When the guy raved at him and yelled at him and said, how dare you, or whatever, he just thought, let's just get to the point. And I can just see him calmly answering, what is your name? And the spirits knew who he was talking to. We never do find the man's name out, the man's actual name. But he finds out, because he's going to, by name, cast the demons out. And so he asked them, what's your name? But the Father's reaction is not, listen, I'm the high and mighty. You better just stay groveling in the sand here on the beach. And you better just listen to me because I'm just straightening you out. He doesn't say that. He has compassion on this guy. And he knows, obviously, what his problem is. Now, I want to tell you something. This guy's problem was not because of everything that had happened to him. I'm constantly amazed at two people can stand up here and tell horrendous stories of abuse and things that have happened to them in their childhood. Many of you here, many of us have gone through. Pam shared a little bit about what her life was like and so on before. Two people can stand up with similar stories, similar tales, and one of them can be living a happy life and full of joy and peace and just feeling like they're really finding their destiny and the reason they were born. And the other is miserable and cranky, and, you know, they've maybe had the same things happen to them, but they're still living in that place of a victim, that place of wounding. That's not a terrible thing if you're there today. We have to recognize where we are. The demon-possessed naked guy had to run to Jesus. If he'd have run the other way, bye-bye. There's no story here. He would have died, a demon-possessed naked guy. You know? But because he came to Jesus, you see, his life is turned around. And so because it doesn't matter, when I say this, I'm careful, it does matter what's happened to you. But in terms of what God can do for you, it doesn't matter what's happened to you. Because God can fix anything. God fixed this guy. And he didn't just fix him. He actually set him on a new path. And so the Father is not put off by your aggressive tone. I've learned that. Because in my 40 years of being a Christian, I have been mad at God sometimes. I have, inwardly at least, yelled at God sometimes. Anybody else? Careful. Have you got a lightning rod on top of the thing here? But you see, God's not put off by our pain and what that produces in us. He just wants to come in and say, you know, what can I do? Are you open to me coming in to relieve you of this situation?
And so nobody's too far gone. The father is not offended. He's not put off by his appearance. I mean, he had the most radically disturbing appearance that a human being could probably have, and the father is not put off by that. He didn't say, go put some clothes on. What's the matter with you? Come back and talk to me when you're dressed. The father is not put off by extreme brokenness and its manifestations. So he not only set him free of the demons, and we could go into the pigs and all that, but it's just a kind of cool story. I mean, 2,000 pigs, you know, like unbelievable. What a mess. That's a lot of pigs. That's a lot of bacon. There would have been a bacon shortage in Decapolis. And partly the townspeople's saying, Jesus, would you please go away, is that I bet you, I mean, that would have put a serious dent in somebody's economy, you know? I mean, that's, anyway, I said we wouldn't go there, so we won't. But Jesus addresses his first needs first. He sets him free of the tormentors, and this is what God wants to do. What is it that's tormenting you? I mean, it may not be, you know, we don't want to get all demon-focused and everything's a demon, there's a demon everywhere. It's not so much whether it's a demon or not, it's whether you've got something in your life that's binding you up. Whether you've got a memory, whether you're holding on to some unforgiveness in your life. That's why we spent some time forgiving people yesterday, because it's not forgiving people so that they get off the hook, and because we really naturally want them to be responsible. We want them to pay the price for what they did to us, but when we forgive them, you see, we set ourselves free. Forgiveness is God's way of setting us free from offenses and pain and wounding of the past, taking us from a victim, taking us from this person who suffered the same as this person. This person's happy and this person's miserable, and their whole life is miserable, and nobody even likes to be around them because they just feel rejected and wounded all the time and can't stop talking about it. That's okay if you're there right now, but don't stay there, because Jesus can come and he can heal that. He can turn you. He can turn your sorrow into joy. He can turn your mourning into dancing, as we heard today with Mike's word. He can. That's what he does. That's why the gospel is good news. The gospel is so much more than going to heaven instead of hell. It is that, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful for that. But it is also so much more for this life. He wants to set you free from the things. Why? So that people who knew you when you were a miserable son of a gun will suddenly realize what happened to you, and you will be able to say to them, God, I encountered God, and he set me free. So you mean those things? No, those things all happened to me. Yeah, my story's still the same. I didn't make that up. That really happened. But you know what? It doesn't cause me great pain anymore. It doesn't cause me to feel like a loser. It doesn't cause me to feel like this rejected, horribly defective person anymore. That's why we say, I am a child of God. The focus of this weekend is to say, God loves you. He wants to be your father. Jesus is your Savior. Father God wants to be your father. He wants to your identity to become, I used to be, well, maybe not anyone here, demon-possessed, naked guy, but now I am a son of the living God. I am a child of God. Yeah, yeah. So he met his first need. He cast the demons out of him. But you see, he's also interested in the other aspects of his life, because we find out that he found him some clothes to wear. He did. Because when the townspeople came, it says they found the formerly crazy man, sane in his right mind, fully clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet. Isn't that sweet? I don't know if they took a collection. You know, I don't know if they brought it. Suitcases along on their trip over the sea or not. I don't know where they got the clothes, but somehow they clothed this man. They covered up the physical effects of his chaotic life, you know, and he was healed on the inside, and his shame was covered and dealt with. And not only that, but he gave the man, so
So there's three things he does. He wants to clean out the junk out of our life. Then he wants to cover our shame and you know, turn us into, wow, you're a perfectly sane, you know, this is amazing. I mean, this guy had terrorized him for, you know, this is a crazy guy. And here he is. Now he's sane. He's fully clothed. He's normal. He's ready to resume life. And then Jesus gives him a mission. It's not only, you know, setting him free and covering his shame, it's giving him his destiny. Before this demon-possessed naked guy was born, he was destined to be an evangelist. I know that sounds crazy. How many people in this town who, whether physically or just emotionally, are demon-possessed crazy people, naked people, who are actually destined to become evangelists? Destined to become people who walk around, whether they're called an event, it doesn't matter what you're called, but walking around being able to share the love of Jesus with people, who being able to share cups of coffee, food, clothing, whatever it takes to show love. How many people are like that? Can we see them that way? Jesus saw him that way. Jesus knew exactly. Father said, you're going to meet the most crazy, bizarre guy that, you know, in the history of civilization. And within one day, he's going to find out who he really is, and he's going to start entering into his destiny. So it's interesting, that little side note, that Jesus doesn't treat everybody exactly the same. A lot of times when he healed somebody, if you read your Gospels, you'll find out that he would heal them, and then he would tell people, now go and don't tell anyone. Remember that? And then it usually says, and they couldn't help themselves, they went and spread it all over town, you know. This time, he tells demon-possessed naked guy, go and tell everybody what God has done for you. So, you know, it's not the same story for every person. Another thing is, many people ask to follow him. Demon-possessed naked guy, it says, begged if he could come with Jesus, get back in the boat and go with Jesus and become a disciple. And Jesus said, no. You might think that's tough, but here's what I think. This man had been homeless, but I bet he had relatives. I bet somewhere there was a home waiting for him. He knew that the most healing thing for this person would be to go home, to find a home, to establish a home again. He might have had a wife and kids somewhere waiting for him. He certainly had parents. And the best thing, instead of him taking off across the sea and touring with the revival crew, Jesus knew the most healing thing to cement this healing in this man's life was for him to go home and to develop and have a home again after being homeless. Isn't that awesome? Jesus knows exactly how to perfectly heal when we come to him and just, as this guy did, and just threw himself down in front of Jesus. The Father always has an appropriate answer to every need. So what is the Father's message behind this story? It's just a outworking of John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. God loved the world before he sent the Son. Before anyone believed in Jesus, God loved the world. God loved this man when he was demon-possessed, crazy guy. You know, he loves. God loves. He brings his love into the situation, which changes everything as the man came and responded to it. It also demonstrates 1 Peter 3:9 that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that should all. How many?
All.
That all should come into relationship with him. John 1:12, whoever believes can become a child of God. Even completely insane, crazy guy, you know, can actually become a child of God. Like that. Just like that. It also demonstrates, Jesus told a lot of parables, and one of the parables he told was about, you know, kingdom of God is kind of like this. A shepherd has 100 sheep, and he's got one lost and 99 saved. So what does he do? He leaves the 99 that are safe in the fold, and he goes out and he searches until he finds that one lost sheep. You see, Jesus left revival with thousands of people. He left success, popularity, fame, a platform. Got into a boat, you know, calmed the sea so he could get the disciples ready for calming the man, you know, so they weren't too terrified. And then he went for one person. Yeah. And, you know, he landed on the beach, had this whole scenario, probably took most of the day, I suppose. People asked him to leave. He got in the boat and left. And he went back across and resumed what he had been doing before. It's a demonstration of the 99 and the one. It's a demonstration of that parable. So you see what the Father's heart is? The Father's heart is, of course, for the crowd, but it's also for the one. And the Father will take the time, whatever time it takes, to find the one. Thank you, God. I'm so glad that he does that. Yeah. You know what? As we work with him, as we work with God, and so often we find ourselves in this place, we don't really know how to fix a situation. We don't know the answer. We come up against tough situations. But you know what? We don't have to know the answer because we know the one who does know the answer. We do know that we can love. What does love look like to the person in front of you? If a person is starving and really hungry, love might look like some food. If he was cold and it's soon going to be however far below it gets around here. Oh! If he's cold, love might look like a jacket to begin with. You know, we actually do know how to show love. We may not have the answers to his, all, you know, immediate answers to all of his addiction problems, but we know who does. We know who can fix anything, and we can introduce them and get him into that place. So, yeah. At any point in your journey, this story also teaches us that you can reverse the effects of your habitual bad lifestyle at any point. I mean, this guy's so far gone, it's ridiculous, right? But at any point, it can be, nobody's too far gone. You know, as long as the person is alive, there's hope for change and for salvation. Yeah. So, some people are, in effect, living in a cemetery, running around screaming, running around. You know what? You could have a suit and tie on, and inwardly, you could be running around. You could be like you're living in, like you have no home, like you're living in a cemetery. You could be so bound up in the pain and wound of your situation that you could inwardly, you could know how to put on a face. You could know how to look together. Anybody ever asked you, I'm fine. And inside, you could be a chaotic mess. But if you come to Jesus, he can say, peace, peace, peace. Let me deal with that. Let me name those things. What is it? What is it? You have a bad relationship with your father. There's abuse in your back. You know, name it. What's your name? My name's Legion. What is it? What is it in you? What is it in you? Just bring it to him. Don't hide it. We hide it because we want to sometimes appear together. If you want to appear together, you can stay with all your mess inside, or you can bring it to Jesus and let him, representing the Father, come and bring conclusion to it. So, thank you, God. Sometimes we don't even know that we're that guy. Like, are we running around creating drama? Are we like any drama queens around here? Like any? You don't have to raise your hand. Are you creating drama in your life or in other people's lives? We're not as far gone as this guy, but I mean, are we creating chaos? Sometimes you have to ask your spouse that question. I asked Pam that once. That was in 70. I don't go there anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But ask those around you. Sometimes we have a little saying. Do you sometimes have a $10 reaction to a 10-cent issue? I'm sure you've heard that before, but it just brings home a point. I know there was a point in my life where I thought I had most of it together. If everybody would just smarten up and treat me better, I'd be fine, you know? And I went to this counseling thing, and they said, wow, there's a lot of anger in you. And I went, there is not. I'm a happy person.
But you can fake your way all the way through life and clutch on to your pain, or you can take it to Jesus. And that's what this weekend's about. When you take it to Jesus, you see there's great hope. He who can calm a roaring sea, and just by the word of his mouth, can calm whatever chaos is in your life. Isn't that great? And we get to be, after we get, you know, some measure of healing, he doesn't wait till we're perfect or he'd never use anyone, but as we get some kind of healing and some kind of our feet on the ground, we get to minister healing to other people. We get to see people's lives changed. Isn't that fun? Yeah, so we just want to pray for you guys and just kind of close with a time of prayer. I think we still have a good amount of time. We would love to, as Pam said, because of the long trip home and people working tomorrow and so on in Abbotsford, we're going to try to pull out of here by about 12:30. I mean, we'd love to hear all of your stories, but that won't always be possible. So if you just take advantage of coming up for prayer about any of these things, anything I've said has spoken to you, and you want to, you know, be like the demon-possessed naked guy and not see Jesus and turn around and run the other way, but just come and bring your situation to him, and we'll pray. You want to come and just lead us in how to do that?
Okay, come on, team. Let's come up. Darcy and Kirsten, can you come and just lend us some extra help here? So let's get some down here. So that is how we're going to close. We're going to close with this. If you don't know Jesus, please come up and pray with one of us today. Be that man that throws yourself at his feet today and says, like, I need help. Like, I need hope. But if you know Jesus and you've invited him into your heart, then, you know, we heard the most amazing testimony from Eric yesterday that some of us have invited Jesus into our hearts, but we've forgotten to invite the Father to father us. And so if we can lead you in that prayer too before we go, we would love to do that. If there's some healing, if as Alf was talking, you were sensing, yeah, you know what, there's just some stuff that needs to still get moved out of my life so more love can come in. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. And when we leave, every one of you that we've prayed for that has gotten that touch from God, you can now give it away to other people. And you can now touch them. Because you know what? This is a great team, but it's not about the people who pray for you. It's about the God who is moving through them. And that same God will move through you. Because now that you know his love, now that you've been touched, you are able to give away and walk in that same authority and say, I can pray for people now to know the love of God. I can pray for people to understand that they need to have the Father in their lives too. So let's stand up. I'm going to pray for you, release you, and then get you to bombard my team with prayer. We want to leave everything on the floor before we go. We don't want to take home anything. So drain us dry. You have about 20 minutes to ask us to pray for you. So let's just open up your hands. So Heavenly Father, here we are. We are your sons and your daughters, and we sure love you. And we're so happy that you've come to us to love us, heal us, make us healthy and whole. Lord, come and make a home in us. We want to be your home. Don't just visit. Come and dwell in us. Okay, so just take a deep breath. So I'm going to pray over you. So Heavenly Father, we ask for an impartation right now. We ask for an impartation to every man, woman, and child whose heart is open, whose hands are empty, and they're saying, come and touch me. This is my day. This is my time. Come and fill my heart. I want to know your love. Come and touch my body. We just speak right now that over your bodies, that your bodies would respond. Every cell in your bodies would begin to respond to the love of God. Come on, just take a deep breath. Come on, just bless your bodies to begin to respond to the love of God. Just let it begin pouring in because there's no lack in him. There's no lack in you as long as you just say, I'm open. I am open. And so, Father, we ask right now you'll come to every little boy, every little girl in this room. Whether we're covered right now with a covering of what looks like adulthood, we are still just children in your sight. And so we ask you right now to come and fill us. Come and fill us. Let your love pour upon us. Let us know what it is to be secure in your love. And Father, give me more than enough so I can give it away. Give me someone today that I can love on. Give me someone today that I can give some love away to. So I want you to put your hand on the person beside you. We're going to do a little body ministry. We're going to start right now. So there you go. So you're already giving away. So I want you just to start praying right now. So Father, for the people that we have our hands on, to the right and to the left of us right now, we pray right now for an impartation. Come on, just begin to bless them, whether it's in your head or you say it out loud. But just begin to bless them with health. Say, Father, where they have a need in their body, where they have a need in their body, where they have a need in their heart right now. Father, we are together blessing them to know the love of God. Begin to just release the Holy Spirit to begin to touch the people beside you, the one on your right and on your left. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come to them right now. Come on, Holy Spirit, you love us. We are giving you permission to touch the person on our right and on our left. We're asking for an impartation of power, of health, of love, of freedom, of forgiveness. Begin to just remove rejection from their heart. Whoever I'm touching right now, Father, let them feel that you have accepted them and they are not abandoned. Father, we just break off a sense of being orphaned, and we ask right now for the one on my right and on my left to feel the fact that they are a valued son or daughter. So just begin to just speak that over them. Just begin in your head or out loud to begin to say, Father, you value them. And so I honor them. Let's just say, I honor them. Tell them, I honor them. I bless you. I bless you to feel honored. Come on, say it out loud over them. I bless you to feel honored. I bless you to feel loved. I bless you to feel valued. I bless you to know your worth. I bless you as a child of God. Come on, I bless you to have health. I bless your soul to prosper. I bless you to know joy. Come on, some of you are touching people that are mourning. So just say right now too, I break mourning off of you. The mourning would end and joy would begin. Yeah, I just bless you. We bless you. Doesn't that feel good? Come on, bless the people beside you. You have the power to bless and release. Now release them. Just say right now, I'm releasing you to give love away. I'm releasing you to give love away. That's it. So Father, listen to your kids. They're already giving away what they got. So we thank you for that blessing right now. We thank you for that blessing. Why don't you give the people beside you a hug? Even if you're not a hugger, pat them on the back. Come on, you just blessed a whole bunch of people. So God bless you guys. If you want prayer, if you want to be blessed, please come up and let us pray for you before you go. God bless you guys. We release you. Thank you so much for being so kind to us. And again, we'd love to pray for you before we go. Take care.